No Way Out, the searing true story of men under siege, by Major Adam Jowett with Geraint Jones, read by Gunnar Kothry. The air above our heads was being torn apart by the supersonic zipping and cracking of bullets, splinters from the wooden structure of the Sanger thrown up into the air. Hot sand from the leaking bags poured onto my neck and into the back of my body armor. My senses felt assaulted, the smell of cordite and dust thick in my nostrils, my ears ringing from the boom and blast of RPGs, the rattle of machine guns, friendly and enemy, the frantic shouts of command, the crump of mortars. Even after weeks of furious fighting, it was the heaviest weight of fire I had ever experienced, the most intense battle. And from the sounds and sights around me, I knew that we were losing. It had all started so casually. The front gate Sanger had requested a battery replen, and I had told my signalers that I would run them out in their place. Using the cover of buildings and sprinting between open spaces, not a single round had come at me from the enemy-occupied buildings just 50 yards away. Compared to what we had faced so far, such an easy crossing of the compound felt like bliss, a true walk in the park. "Morning, boss," the smiling Ranger Russell had greeted me, his eyes red from days of gunsmoke and nights of little sleep. "Morning, Russ," I replied, taking in our defences at the compound's front gate, a collection of metal sheets and wire that was more Mad Max than British Army. "All quiet?" I asked. The words were hardly out of my mouth when the trio of RPGs fired, the sound of their launch and detonation overlapping as they slammed the short distance into our defences. The heavy weapons were the signal for the enemy to start their attack, and within moments the ghost town had been turned into an inferno of gunfire. "Down!" I shouted at Russell, pulling him into the corner of the sandbagged position. "Stay down," I told him, as he bravely tried to fire back at the enemy. "Fuck!" I screamed to myself. "Fuck!" This was the enemy's heaviest weight of fire to date, and as the company commander, I should be in a position to coordinate my men and to smash the Taliban's attack with air and artillery power. Instead, I was pinned down completely in an exposed fighting position, and there was no doubt in my mind that to raise my head would mean immediate death. To run to the closest building would be impossible. The air was choked with bullets, rounds churning up dirt and smacking into mud walls like acid rain. I turned to look at the young soldier beside me, expecting that he would need some encouragement. "Why are you laughing?" I found myself asking instead. "You started it, boss," Russell replied, grinning, and I realized that he was right, the chaos of the situation and adrenaline forcing the reaction from me in long barks. The laughter cleared my head, and I crawled my way to the edge of the fighting position so that I could look back across the compound. I saw my men fighting from the roof of the ops room, but it was clear that the weight of the enemy's fire was suppressing them and pinning us all into cover. Easy Company were losing this firefight, and if the Taliban could keep our heads down for long enough, then they would be at our walls. We'd already had to fight them off with grenades. Would today be bayonets? Every battle has a tipping point, and for the first time I felt with dread that the decisive advantage was about to be given to the enemy. I needed to be with my artillery and air controllers. I needed to be calling in the firepower that would break this contact. I'd already lost soldiers in the battle for the town, and I had no intention of losing more. I looked south, where the men of Somme Platoon were valiantly fighting their way from cover to cover, attempting to ease the pressure on the western perimeter. My stomach was in my throat as I watched them run, expecting that at any moment I would see one of my soldiers fall. The trail of RPGs left dirty streaks across the sky above them, one exploding in mid-air, and I felt my heart pound in relief as I saw that the airburst had caused no casualties. We could not be so lucky forever, I knew. I looked back across to the northwest corner of the compound, where the fire was thick, heavy, and deadly. To move was to die, but to stay in cover was to fail my men. "Keep your head down," I told Russell, feeling as if I had a gun held against mine. And then I ran.